I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Thanks for being here today. How fast can you get clean?
90-second showers.
Yeah, you heard her right. 90-second showers are pretty much the rule in Cape Town, South Africa these days, along with a lot of other personal hygiene innovations.
Hand sanitizers and jumping in and out of the shower, and one learns to, I think dry shampoo sales have gone up really quickly. I think that's the business to be in right now.
That's Marlies van der Maver. She's a reporter for Cape Town's Daily Maverick. And she and the city's 4 million other residents are living with the stark new reality of a long-term water crisis. 3 years of drought have left Cape Town high and dry. And earlier this year, the city was even warning that it might have to shut down the city's water supply. Water-saving measures like the ones van der Maver was just talking about have helped ease the crisis a bit, but tight water restrictions remain in effect, and the city still faces a very uncertain future. We'll hear more from van der Maver in a few minutes, but first from our Livable Planet desk, here's reporter Daniela Cheslow on how one big Cape Town institution is trying to deal with the squeeze.
In the underground parking lot of Cape Town's Christiaan Barnard Hospital, workers hustle to complete an urgent construction project.
We're basically trying to do the miracle here to get a desalination plant built and installed within 3 to 4 months.
That's Nico de Cook. He's a project manager on this hospital's sprint to build its own desalination plant. The hospital sits on reclaimed land on Cape Town's waterfront, so it's long had to pump seawater out of the basement. Now, instead of going back into the ocean, that water will go into a sand filter system, then carbon filters.
And then from the carbon filters, it comes to this Rolls-Royce of a piece of equipment. It's a reverse osmosis, desalination section of the plant.
It's a stack of pipes, each one about a foot in diameter and the length of a car. They're where the salt is separated from the water. Cape Town officials have been warning for months of an impending day zero, when the city's taps would run dry. They've threatened steep fines for residents who don't cut their water use to 13 gallons a day. And the extreme measures are working. Total water consumption is down to just over half of what it was 3 years ago. Day zero was pushed back from March to April to July, and now the city says there will likely be no day zero in 2018. But if or when day zero comes, the desalinization plant will allow this hospital to ignore it.
We will be able to produce enough water out of this plant to run the hospital as usual without having massive water-saving programs in place.
Chris Tilney is general manager of this privately owned hospital. Upstairs, you can still feel the water shortage, at least for now. There are more than 450 low-flow filters on taps throughout the hospital. Tilney says patients get their baths with wet wipes, and surgeons keep their hands clean with sanitizer. Some of these special measures will stay in place once the water plant is up and running. Tilney's office walls are hung with pictures of Table Mountain and other iconic Cape Town spots. This is South Africa's marquee city, but working here means dealing with lots of infrastructure problems. A few years ago, the hospital bought new generators to back up its supply during an electricity crisis. Cape Town has promised that if day zero ever does come, schools and hospitals will still get water. Tilney isn't so sure.
I think there are too many variables. This way we know there's certainty we can produce water.
The water crisis highlights the vast inequality in Cape Town. The desalinization plant costs roughly $500,000. Similar plants are under construction at a hotel and an insurance company. There's one public hospital investing in treating and piping groundwater, but many others are making do. Meanwhile, a quarter of the city's residents live in shanty towns and get their water out of communal taps. Tilney says the hospital's desalinization plant will actually help out his fellow Cape Town residents.
Getting off the grid is giving everyone else another 110,000 litres a day.
That's about 30,000 gallons. Helpful, and less than 1% of water use in Cape Town. But the city is taking its own steps to increase the water supply.
There's been great progress at that particular plant.
City Councillor Xanthia Limburg has just finished touring a new desalination plant when we meet. It's one of several city water projects that should start coming online this month. Limburg says until recently, it was hard to get support for investing in desalination or groundwater drilling because last year's weather predictions forecasted above average rainfalls.
And unfortunately, this wasn't the case.
Now the city scrambles. Lindbergh says the national government should help cover the $100 million cost of these projects, but she says it's offered less than $2 million.
So we definitely need far more significant financial support.
These water projects can also have downsides. Desalination plants use a huge amount of energy. And then there's the super salty brine that's left over. The hospital's plant alone will dump 80,000 gallons of it into the ocean daily. Christine Colvin of the World Wildlife Fund South Africa says if the technology becomes a bigger part of Cape Town supply,
we're going to again need a very good and thorough environmental management plan to make sure that we don't result in dead zones in these hypersalinized areas offshore.
For now, desalination has a small impact, but at the hospital, it inspires confidence. In the lobby, Somila Makangome arrives to get treated for a stomach condition. She suspects she got an infection from drinking tap water. It's been dirtier lately because it comes from the bottom of the city's reservoirs.
It's almost a month now since I've been going back and forth to the doctors.
Makangame works for the city, but she says she's not sure Cape Town can fulfill its promise that hospitals will have water no matter what. So she's relieved to hear that this hospital is taking extra precautions.
It's a great plan because now each and every one of us now is a bit panicky with regards to what is currently happening in Cape Town.
A big part of that uncertainty is rainfall. The city says rain is predicted for May or June, but just like last year, no one can say for sure if it will come. For The World, Daniela Cheslow, Cape Town, South Africa.
That expensive desalination plant being built at a private hospital isn't the only part of Cape Town's drought that's drawing attention to the difference between the haves and have-nots in South Africa. Marlies van der Maver has been covering Day Zero and the Cape Town water crisis for the Daily Maverick news site.
Certainly up to now, Day Zero highlighted the inequality that already exists. So, for example, one of the reasons why townships were not going to be affected by Day Zero, in other words, the reticulation wasn't going to be switched off in townships, is because they already function like water points. So people have to go and collect their water. So while people in suburbs were in a panic and saying, help, the reality was drumming home that for a large part of Cape Town, it already is Day Zero.
It's also driven home the point, van der Maver says, that water is too cheap.
And there has been some resistance among ratepayers saying, you know, we don't want to pay more for water. But the reality is that across the board, we pay too little for water.
This week, the city of Cape Town proposed a doubling of the price of water over the next 2 years to help the city address the drought. It's just the latest step taken by officials and residents to keep so-called Day Zero at bay. Van der Maver says she thinks naming a date when the city would run out of water has been effective at spurring conservation, even though that date's now been postponed indefinitely.
I think in terms of getting people to conserve water, it certainly did the job. But the downside, of course, is that the second the date shifts, people start to relax. And I think part of the problem that led us here was a kind of chronic short-termism. Because we've been building up to a water crisis now for decades, and we need to get well above average rainfall this season to avert another crisis next summer. And long-term, conservationists are very concerned that South Africa is a water-scarce country. Our population is increasing. So this is not something that is going to just go away because Day Zero has been averted.
Didn't it at least take consciousness about water to another level, though?
I think it did, and I hope that that's going to remain. But one of the things that also is a concern is that we are a water-scarce country, and just 8% of our land is responsible for 50% of our water supply.
Wow.
And just 16% of that land is protected. So what we're looking at now is that some of the augmentation schemes that are coming online in the Western Cape, for example, are actually coming online in those protected areas. So we're looking at a situation where we might, in order to augment our short-term water supply, we might actually be creating a longer-term problem.
Talk a bit more about when you're talking about the long-term sustainability of augmentation plans. What kind of augmentation plans are you talking about?
Primarily, particularly the city of Cape Town has been looking at desalination and groundwater drilling. So there are quite a number of drilling sites proposed, well over 100. That's not all by the city of Cape Town, by the way. There are other municipalities around Cape Town as well. So the municipalities that are doing that have said that they'll do it sensitively and that they are taking into account the possible impact. But we actually don't know.
What are the environmental concerns surrounding that?
Some of the conservationists have raised the issue that potentially drilling is going ahead in sites that are protected. Government officials have said that they are being as careful as they can and that they have environmental officers on site to ensure that this is being done as safely as possible. On the other side of it, there are conservationists that are saying, please try and bring in more consultation because we don't know what we're doing. We have to tread very lightly. So there are those concerns. We'll have to just wait and see because at this stage, the municipalities are arguing that there simply isn't time to go ahead with environmental impact assessments and that there's an enormous amount of political pressure to supply water and supply it very fast. So at the moment, the struggle is to balance those two points of view.
What do you think Cape Town's experience these past few months should teach the rest of the world?
Don't take water for granted. That's the first thing. I mean, I think although South Africa is a water-scarce country, Cape Town has always been the rainy part. And if it can happen to us, it can happen to anybody. So don't take it for granted and think long-term because although our needs short-term might be very important, you can live without electricity. You can even live without food for a certain amount of time, but you cannot live without water.
Journalist Marelise van der Maver speaking with us from Cape Town, a rainy Cape Town today. Thanks very much.
That's a pleasure.
More from Cape Town tomorrow. We'll visit a radio station there that's hired a full-time water reporter, the Water Beat, that helped rally listeners to change the ways they use water. That's tomorrow on The World.